Thank you. Thank you, Beverly and Tom. You know, it's a pleasure for me to be here, period, because I enjoy this kind of thing. There's a part of me that really likes to be on stage. And one of the great pleasures when I come and speak at Unity is to be able to work with the musicians and connect music with the words. And there's something really special about that. So the theme is love. You heard it in the song. That was a John Denver song called Perhaps Love. And he's trying to figure out what this thing love is all about in those lyrics. And that's the journey I'm going to take you on today as well. The last time I was here speaking at Unity, and I come to Unity regularly, but I'm not always standing up here. And the last time I came, I had pretty much free rein on what I wanted to talk about. Of course, it obviously had to fit within the context of Unity. This time it was a little bit different. This time I was asked if I would speak on a theme. And that theme was love. Well, I don't know about you, but I have voices that say a lot of things in my head. And when I first had the invitation to talk on love, some of those voices were saying things like, love's not my thing. I don't have a workshop on love. I don't already have a workshop on love. And I certainly talk about love in my work, but I'm not a professional expert on love. And those voices ever so kindly added, and by the way, personally, you're not such a great expert on love either. Thank you, voices. Aren't they wonderful? Yes. They went on to say, and you can't even name the 12 soul powers. Okay, well, and sometimes you even have a hard time using that word love. A little resistance in there, would you say? Those voices were pushing back a little bit. And so how did I respond to that invitation? Well, there was a big gulp, and Sophie was there, and so outwardly I don't know what she saw, but there was a gulp, and then there was a, sure, let's do it, let's do it. Because I've come to appreciate that one of my greatest guides is that resistance. And this was not the resistance that might be, you know, me wanting to be physically safe, literally standing at a cliff, and the next step would be sure death over. It wasn't that kind of resistance. It wasn't that kind of no. This kind of resistance was that self-doubt place. And I imagine some of you have that place on occasion that comes alive. And I have discovered that that's very juicy, that place of resistance. And I've also come to appreciate over the years that the best way for me to learn is to teach. And I see my role up here a little bit is as teacher. And so, okay, the only way out is through, and the only way through is in. So let's step into this resistance. Let's do a little teaching, and therefore a little learning for me. And I hope it'll be some learning for you, too. You own your own learning. And so I invite you to listen to what I have to say and take really what works for you and leave what doesn't. And that's part of what's been a joy in my Unity journey is the presentation of ideas of possibility, and then I get to make them my own. So I invite you to do the same. So for me, the journey was to learn about love. And what I would like to do is share that learning journey. I thought, okay, I'll give them the answer. I figured it all out, and then I realized, well, I'm not even sure that I have at this point, but I have a starting point, and I'm going to share that with you. So where did I begin my learning? Well, as Sophie mentioned, I was at a university for many years. I'm a trained researcher. And in research, we start with definitions. And we look at the variables that we're interested in, we figure out how to define them. And our variable is love. So I'm like, okay, let's start with definition of love. But I thought, before I go to the experts, let me check in with what I think my definition of love is. Because I realized, you know, that word is absolutely everywhere, but I've actually never stopped to say, what does love mean? Define love. And so I pondered about that. I thought, okay, love, love, what have been my experiences with this thing I call love? And for me, it brought up the sense of a lot of sensations. And so I decided I'm going to say love is emotion. That's what it is. Love is emotion, because it came with all these sensations for me. Love is emotion. That's it. Okay, I'm going to put my stake in the ground. That's my definition. Love is emotion. So with that, then it was time to turn to the experts. And literally, these were the first words I read. Many people think of love as an emotion. Thank you. Thank you. I was feeling good. Many people think of love as an emotion that comes and goes. Okay, well, I didn't have that qualifier, but I was willing to live with that. At times, we can feel the most intense love, while at other times, we don't feel it at all. We may then become consumed by doubts about our relationships. Am I with the right partner? Am I being true to myself? Is my soulmate still out there? Or we can get caught up in an anxious search for love, striving to attract someone who will finally give us the love and approval we've longed for. These words went on to say, at the root of all our pain, doubt, and anxiety is a misunderstanding of love. Oh, okay. So perhaps, I was feeling a little doubt there. At the root is a misunderstanding of love and of our essential nature. Love isn't a capricious emotion. Maybe I didn't have it right after all. It isn't a capricious emotion, but is a state of being. It is an experience of unity with all creation. In spirit, we are pure love. We don't have to search outside ourselves for love, because love is our essence. Okay, so there was a part of me that was appreciating what Deepak Chopra had to say. That's where I started with Deepak. Those are his words. I did feel he was onto something, but I wasn't quite ready to let go of my definition yet, even though he was challenging it. I know there are other sources of knowledge in the universe. Maybe they'll agree with me. And so I started to look elsewhere. And I want to highlight one of the particularly fun resources I came across. And it's a website very aptly named canyoudefinelove.com. And you are invited to add your own definitions at canyoudefinelove.com. So here's a few of the definitions that I found there. Love is tripping over nothing when she is around. Love is not only a feeling, it's an action. Love hurts. Often people see love as an emotion, but really, emotions are so unconstant, and basing love on what you feel is ridiculous. Okay, well, that certainly wasn't a vote for my definition, but I did kind of like what they had to say next. Love is when you care about and want to be with someone forever, no matter what dumb things they happen to do. Love is the best part of all of us. Love is being willing to enter into another's brokenness. Love is what's wanting what's best for the other person, even if it means losing them. Love is giving someone all the ammunition to destroy you and trusting that they won't. Love pays attention. Love notices. Love listens. So quite frankly, I noticed myself starting to tally. A few votes for me, a few votes for Deepak. And somehow this was turning into a competition, and yet I'm looking at love. It didn't feel quite right. And so I decided it was a good time for a reminder of one of my mantras. And that mantra is, out beyond right and wrong, there's a field. I'll meet you there. And that's words from Rumi, a Sufi poet. And I really do try and live my life by that. And clearly in my competition with Deepak, it was time to take a step back and try and get into that field. So what was I hearing then? If I took that step back and I was reading and hearing and trying to step into that with a willingness to be changed by what I heard, what was I discovering? For me, in all of those definitions, in Deepak's words, thinking about what I was feeling as well, because I didn't want to deny my experience as well, I was hearing something both outside, something about an action, an expression, and there was something inside, a state of being, something coming from within. I was hearing attention in a way, all these different words, from joy to hurt and pain and heart, just such a rich spectrum of possibility in all of this. And I was trying to figure out, how can I bring all of these pieces together? And so then it was time in my process to turn to the big guns, to unity principles, to Charles Fillmore. And I'm just going to stop there for a second, and I notice I'm chattering a little. Willie, is there something I could do to perhaps not have so much rat-a-tat-a-tat? Okay. Because I know sitting there, that can be very unnerving, all that sound. Oh, Brian's here. He's going to help me.
Okay, we'll just...
Don't I feel special? It's attention.
Okay.
Is that? Let's see. Now I feel like I shouldn't move. I'll just come back over here. Is that better? Is that, okay. Great. So then, as I said, it was time to turn in my process to the big guns, to Charles Fillmore, the unity principles, and to dive into the soul powers. Because remember, part of my resistance was, I can't name those name the 12 soul powers. That was feeling a little overwhelming. But it was time. It was time to step into those. And I'm going to give just a little bit of background, because I know there are some people in the group here today who are not familiar with unity and all of our principles, and it will be a good review for those of us who are familiar. In unity, the soul powers represent energies or spiritual faculties to be awakened within us. And awakened is chosen very purposefully to acknowledge that those faculties are already in there, already present for us, within us, the Christ energy, the divine energy, spirit. And it's our job to, if you will, sort of tune in, tap in, and turn on those energies. Now we have 12 soul powers in total. And in the Bible, those 12 are represented symbolically by the 12 apostles. Each also has a representation or location in the body, and we can think of these locations as the seeds of where those powers reside in your body. Last month was strength, this month is love, and going forward over the course of the year, we'll continue to explore the others. So love, in this context of the soul powers, is life force energy, the divine unity or cosmic glue, if you will, something that holds it all together. And the other interesting thing about these soul powers is that they are generally presented in pairs. And today we are speaking about love, which is represented by the Apostle John, and its soul brother, James, represents wisdom or judgment. So you see up above you the diagram of the 12 soul powers and their locations in the body. And I'm quoting from this book, The 12 Powers. Fillmore had this to say: James and John are brothers, and Jesus called them sons of thunder. These brothers preside over the great body brain called the solar plexus, or sun center. James has his throne in the pit of the stomach, wisdom, right in here, and John just the back of the heart, love. They are unified by bundles of nerves and are metaphysically closely related. Whatever affects the stomach will sympathetically affect the heart. Fillmore goes on to say, Jesus called those two apostles sons of thunder because tremendous vibrations or emotions go forth from the solar plexus. When your sympathies are aroused, you will find that you begin to breathe deeply and strongly. And if you are very sympathetic, you can feel the vibrations as they go out to the person or thing to which you are directing your thoughts. All fervor, all the high energy that comes from soul passes through these centers. I'm going to say that again. All fervor, all the high energy that comes from soul passes through these centers. Love and wisdom, your stomach and your heart. So, Randy, if you could just advance to the next one. I want to set a little context here. Charles wrote this in the early 1900s, and it was based on work from the pioneers of the New Thought movement in the late 1800s. So that's that time frame. And I read those words, and I have to say, I got really excited. And I got excited because there's a body of work that I connect with, that I use in my practice here and now, in the present time, that's referred to as interpersonal neurobiology, or IPNB for short. And IPNB is a very multidisciplinary, broadly based area of research, if you will. It's open, it's evolving, it's academic, it also brings in reflective exploration of reality. And what it's looking at is, what it's having conversations about, is the nature of the mind, the body, the brain, and our relationships with each other and the larger world in which we live. And two of the concepts that have really resonated for me as I've stepped into IPNB are, get ready for this, the stomach brain and the heart brain. Wow. And what we're discovering in the world of IPNB is neurons, and remember Fillmore talked about nerves. We knew we had neurons in our brain, and neurons are cells that activate through energy. They transmit energy through our nervous system. And for years we've known we have neurons in our brain and in a few other locations in our body. But we had no idea how many we have where? In our stomach and in our heart. And here was the other interesting piece of information that really, when I thought about Fillmore's words. Years ago, we used to think that the flow of energy was from the brain down. And what we are discovering about these two centers is that actually, most of the information is going the other way. It's coming from these centers up. And if you think about that diagram, up is towards Christ consciousness and all of those other soul powers that we have going up in the quote-unquote head region. Okay, so we have a lot happening in these two centers, these two soul brothers, and most of that stuff is actually that energy, and it's all about movement of energy. All of that flow is going up. In other words, how we perceive the world, how we show up in the world, is actually very much being guided by these two centers in a way that science had never appreciated before. I'll just add that in IPMB, we're also realizing that, for example, my brain can attune to the electromagnetic field of your heart. Our heart sends out a field, a signal that's really quite strong. I mean, we can't see it, we can't hear it, but it's possible for my brain and my brain signals to attune to yours. And we're also discovering this something called mirror neurons, that some say are the seeds of empathy, that place where I can connect with what you are feeling, or that my emotions could perhaps match yours or mirror yours. So here we are, the context of today, 2013, and all our technology, and something in particular called functional MRIs, which played a huge contribution in the exploration of IPMB. And I have to say, I hear the context of today, 2013, saying exactly the same thing that Charles Fillmore did before all of this technology, before all of the science in the 1900s. Two soul powers, all the fervor from the heart and the seed of love, and from your stomach, the seed of wisdom. They go hand in hand. So what are we to do with all of this? Because, you know, around here we talk about practical spirituality, and I was excited about that, and I love these ideas. Man, my stomach and my heart, they talk to me all the time. What do I do with all of this? So I'd like to bring you back to that wheel that we talked about in the meditation. And if you remember, at the core, the hub is our connectedness. It is there that the soul power of love resides. Metaphysically, it is energy that is within each of us and all of us. And recall also that each of us is a spoke in the wheel. Our spoke connects us to the core, to love, and to the rim, our expression outward, our connection, our community. It is us showing up in the world. It is manifestation. It is action out at the rim. So what I take away from all of this is that love, as Deepak Chopra suggested, is the experience of unity with all creation. In spirit, we are pure love energy, the core, the hub. We don't have to search outside ourselves because love is our essence. And love is emotion. It's that too. And as you can see in the words up there, I'm encouraging you to think about emotion as energy in motion. And you see how I got there. And so if you think about that diagram, down at the bottom, that's the metaphysics, that's the energy. Love is. And as we move out into the world and we manifest our thoughts, which are energy, one of the great gifts we're being given by the design of this thing called our body is that thing we get to tap into to have us know that love is finding expression. But love is all of those emotions. It's everything that we feel, because think about all the sensations that we're getting from our bodies. The stuff that feels good, the stuff that feels hard. It's all love, in a way. So emotion, then, is the conduit for us and our uniqueness, the gateway from our core, and it's that pathway for manifestation to take us to the rim, to our connection, our relationship with the physical world and with each other. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of education, and nowhere in any of that was there a course on emotion. Zip, zero, nada. For me and my training, it was all about being calm, cool, collected, the logic, the rational. And so this idea of emotion in that way, wow, it was a scary place for me to go, because partly because I didn't have language around it, and I'd never been encouraged to tune into all of those different sensations in my body. And yet they were always there, even when I was supposed to be calm, cool, and collected. I was often having the cold clammies or the butterflies in the stomach, the sense of exuberance as well, maybe a sense of loss, or maybe a sense of joy. And here's what I'm coming to appreciate as I stepped into giving this talk today, that all of those are expressions of love in all its forms, in all its hues. There is great wisdom of those in those emotions. And if you're a follower of Abraham Hicks, some of you may do some reading and listening in that regard, they talk about the emotional guidance system. And it's our task then, I believe, to tune into our emotions. And in so doing, we will be tuning into our soul powers of love and wisdom. That listening or tuning in is part of our wisdom power. Those sensations from the belly and from the heart are guiding our action, but we must listen. So, remember where I started about my resistance to the idea of giving a talk on love, right? I acknowledge that resistance. That resistance was my emotions talking to me. And here's where the wisdom part came in. I needed to listen to that resistance. Because if I didn't listen, what was I likely to do? I would have just not done it. Because a lot of that resistance was about wanting to keep me safe. It was sort of making me feel this. And yet, because I, you know, really work hard at this, there is actually an edge to that resistance that's actually saying, go for it. Do it. I know it's going to be scary, but it's part of your path. It's part of your evolution. And so you see, that resistance was love calling me forward in the manifestation from that moment to right here, to right now. And all this lovely learning that I've had over the last few weeks as I stepped into this, and wow, I feel great about where it's gotten me today. And I needed that emotional guidance. It was love and wisdom guiding me from deep within to step into and come forward and manifest this in my life. How lovely is that possibility? And so with that, and Randy, if you can put the little heart one up there, thank you. So with that, I invite you this week to see if you can connect with your emotions as energy in motion. Just think of that saying, energy in motion. And you can begin by just noticing sensations. You know, I said I didn't have the language of emotions. Those words didn't have training. It's okay. You can evolve them. Start with just noticing the sensations in your body. Just notice. And that noticing is the seeds of listening. And let me tell you, it's a profound step just to start listening. Just to step into that listening, to begin to hear that love energy, that guidance coming within from your soul powers of love and its brother, partner, wisdom. And so we say, thank you, God, for the opportunities that come our way this week to practice these ideas. And I don't know about you, but I've never gone a week without some emotion. So I think we're pretty guaranteed to have a chance to practice. Yeah, I think we have a chance to practice this week. So much I could say about love. It's been such a rich learning for me these past few weeks, as I said, to have stepped into this. Again, these are some of my ideas, what's landed for me. I felt this enabled me to appreciate all these signals that I get in my body, to appreciate this idea of thoughts as energy and manifesting, going from the metaphysical to the world in which I am connected to all of you. And I find that grounding within myself, I bring my uniqueness, and we all get to connect in this outer world, in the physical reality as well. So I hope you've gotten a few little tidbits, a little something you can chew on, perhaps downstairs in the interactive church. And I want to thank you for being a part of this manifestation for me and for all of us in our time coming together. Thank you.